broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2020. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law that I am, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Hope you had an absolutely delightful 4th of July extended weekend. Hopefully it was filled with God, family, and country. Mine was, to say the least. All right, Dr. Scott Bradley with us. His goal to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome back and hope you had a delightful 4th, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It was a different 4th for sure. I only had one public engagement that I spoke at, but it was one that was, I believe, well-received by people that were excited and pleased to be able to commemorate the 244th year of the signing. And they were, I think they were kind of fearless. They weren't scared rabbits and sheep hanging in their bunkers. They came, there was no masks in the crowd except for the media professionals that were there filming things and so on. I'm sure that their management required it, but it was kind of like being back in America again in a lot of ways. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
All right. I'm glad you had a delightful 4th. We certainly did too. Kurt Crosby with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam. Hey, could you do me a favor and wrap that little
switch up? We've been working on it for an hour.
A little bit.
Did you have a good 4th, Kurt?
Yeah, we had a great time. Celebrated it down in the Oak City vicinity a little bit there. And like Dr. Scott Bradley said, a lot more... what would you say? I don't think I even saw a mask in the, you know, area. You know, well, it's nice to be evil. Away from the masked men and women of, you know, the scared ones. But anyway, switch that switch just a
I'm
little.
I'm still
bit
working
more
on it,
for
buddy.
Me.
I've been working on it for an hour. Just keep going.
Okay, sorry.
I'm telling you that right now. But let me say
now
it again. I'm working
really
on it still.
Good.
I know I'm still
really
working
good.
On it, buddy. And I'll
sorry.
Keep it up.
Sorry. I didn't know I had told you it was a problem before. But
keep going.
Anyway,
you're on the radio, sir. You're live.
I know the things that I appreciated over the weekend. I know, you know, the president's two appearances there in South Dakota. You've given me the audio of one of them, and I know.
Well, so one was in South Dakota. The other one wasn't. It was at, as far as I understand, in Washington, right?
Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm still working on that. It's amazing how the media won't cover those kind of things. But they,
they will. They said Trump attended a white supremacist rally.
Oh,
they'll cover
right.
it. They just won't cover
it
honestly.
Point. Yeah, that's right. Good point. And
they highlighted everybody blocking the roads for President Trump. They got off on that too. They, you know, again, they highlight what they want. They just have a different agenda than we do. That's all.
Yeah, usually Provo is known as a, what do they call it, America's, Freedom Center or whatever, where they usually have a big parade and all that kind of stuff and all these festivities and fireworks and all that. I think there were a few fireworks, but, boy, there were, as far as I know, no parade, and of course, I was spending time... selling honey on the 4th, trying to sweeten the 4th just a little bit.
I thought
bit.
You were down there enjoying yourself.
Well, I was there on the 3rd and got back on the early on the 4th and then, got to work, so that I could pay taxes so those bureaucrats could take the day off, you know what I mean, Sam?
What do you think of Kurt working on the 4th, Scott?
You know, I think that the whole concept of the independence and freedom of this nation is the fact that we can choose how we're going to spend our time, regardless. I mean, you know, let's talk about, I mean, you know, I don't want to take this all on a tangent, really, but some people would say, well, we ought to make a law about what ought to happen on the Sabbath, you know, the Sunday. Well, some people celebrate or commemorate the Sabbath on Saturday. Some do it on Friday. Some do it on Thursday. I mean, it's like, are we going to mandate everybody? But I hope that whomever is commemorating their Sabbath does it in a way that's appropriate to the recognition of the hand of God in their life. And
amen.
But anyway, if Sam wants, I mean, you, Sam, or Kurt, I'll bet you, Sam, you've worked on, if you will, done radio programs.
I worked almost the whole 4th of July, just like Kurt did. We did our program live, and then I helped syndicate many other programs and worked on those programs, and I kind of vacillated between work and family and play and God, family, and country the whole day, and I pretty much did what Kurt did. I was teasing because everybody believes you're supposed to just drink beer and do nothing. I don't agree with any of that.
Yep. You choose. I mean, this was a free country. That was the concept behind it, and I think that while we've fallen far, we've got to catch what we can and restore what's been lost, because America really isn't this, wasn't ever meant to be this draconian lockstep, you know, nobody's taller than anybody else, nobody's shorter than anybody else, and everybody's on the same page, seek, spot, run, run, spot, run, instead of reading the great Greek classics. I mean, this idea of dumbing the whole nation down to a single kind of denominator is absolutely absurd. Absurd.
Yeah, you want to know why I worked?
Because you were for freedom.
Yes, because I believe what we're doing with radio is so essential. And especially on the Day of Liberty, why would I not want to talk about liberty? That's the first reason. Second reason is I consider our radio audience worldwide an extended family, really. These are the people that take the time to decide liberty is so important. They want to get caught up on the news of the day regarding liberty. They want to put things in the context of the Founding Fathers. They want to apply things based on a moral God view. These are special people, and I want to spend time with them. And I know some of them are alone. Some of them may not have families. Some of them may be working on their barbecue, setting things up for their family, but they want to listen. And so, you know what? I try to be live on these special days the best I can. I'm not always live, not every time, but I really try to make that important, and I can take a break on a normal day when all the other guys are, babbling about something a whole lot less important. So I don't bring up that about Kurt working for any reason except to say, the Lord said that work is good for us, Scott. Can you imagine something like that?
And by the way, Dr. Scott, real quick, the 4th of July is Sam's birthday, so his wife pretty much lets him have a little leeway on what he can do on the 4th of July.
Well, she ought to give him a little leash occasionally, you know. I mean, I can't imagine Sam ever being put in a box without his agreement.
I said to my wife, do you mind if I'm live on the 4th of July? And she said, you know what, it's your birthday, it's up to you. And I said, that's what I want to do, and I could sleep in. I could do a lot of things, but I chose to get up and prepare for the broadcast and talk about, in my opinion, a sacred cause. And that's why I was there, buddy. It's that simple. Now, I'm not trying to be more important than anybody else. I'm just trying to do my little part, do my duty. That's all.
Well, you know, when John Adams wrote to his wife, and we could discuss why the second day of July was, he thought, going to be the day, but it's not, so let's not do that. But at any rate, he talked, he wrote to his wife, he didn't talk to her, they didn't have phones in those days. So he says in that letter, I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. Then he goes into the celebration part, but solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. Now, I would suspect that that was really down the list of an awful lot of people's minds, but I spoke about that, at least in part, at the gathering that I spoke at on the 4th. But you know, most people, as you pointed out, you know, it's a beer bust with a rock concert and fireworks, and there's something to be said about having a good time, but the idea that this was, and I also spoke a little bit about what happened at a speech that John Quincy Adams spoke at, son of John and Abigail Adams. He spoke on Independence Day in 1837, and he basically interwove the birth of the Savior and the birth of the nation, and how they were commemorated in our nation, and that was right that they should, because what was done on our Independence Day set forth a kind of a gospel dispensation in his mind, that the Redeemer's mission on the earth was kind of being able to be given fruit by having a nation that allowed religious liberty and the blessings of freedom, God-given rights, all those kind of things. So, yeah, this 4th of July thing was considered quite sacred to those early in America, instead of a beer bust, rock concert, and, you know, fireworks. But, you know, again, I'm not trying to say people ought to not be happy and joyful in the whole thing, but I think we need to kind of give a little bit of pause and consider the foundation we're built on.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for God, family, and country. It's time for children and grandchildren. It's time to celebrate the liberties that we have. It's time to get on our knees and pray and sing hymns and sing songs of liberty. And it's time to really focus on what makes America great. And then our job, after the celebration, is to get up and work our very best to preserve all that our founders fought, bled, and died for, ladies and gentlemen. Takes a lot of work to be free, you know that? Speaking of work. All right, quick pause. Sam, Kurt, and a good doctor with us. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, you heard the big hullabaloo about Facebook censoring President Donald Trump because he uses this red triangle symbol. A red triangle, folks. Do you know what that means? Are you caught up on this story, Scott?
I'm not privy to that. I guess I was distracted.
All right, so on Facebook, the president uses a red triangle symbol. And it's now Facebook's excuse to censor President Trump. They say a red triangle has a long history as an Antifa symbol. And I brought this up and I said how bogus this is. Look, the red triangle doesn't mean that to most of us, and et cetera, et cetera. And listener Neil got a hold of me after that and said, hey, man, you know what? Just so you know, that red triangle is used also to denote a prisoner of war. or a political prisoner of war, or a political prisoner. And so under a little bit more research, I've found out, they say Nazis put this symbol on political opponents' arms, political prisoners, if you will. And so there you have it. The question becomes, why is Trump using it? Is it because he's a Nazi? Or is it because he feels like that we're all under siege from the Nazis and from the criminals and from the Antifa and from the Black Lives Matter and from the, I can go on and on and on, literally a bunch of communists and socialists destroying this country. Is this a stress symbol Donald sending? Or is this a Nazi symbol Donald's sending? That's the historical relevance and the reality that we face. Facebook using this to censor the President of the United States, Dr. Bradley.
Well, it's interesting to me that, like you say, I kind of overlooked Facebook's brouhaha about a lot of things because I'm not a social media fan. I find that there's way too many distractions there. I find that so often those that use it are using, we got trolls galore, that the cowards that sit in their basement, their parents' basement, finding fault with everything and everybody. And we've become a nation that, as I say so often, has bunkered up and hunkered down. And they're not going out and they're not making the nation progress in a positive way. So I guess I've kind of discounted and throw out, whether it's the NFL or Facebook or Nike or whomever it is that is bent on distracting from the progress and forward movement of the nation. I guess I've kind of eliminated them from my life in a lot of ways.
And that's good, but this battle's critical, and I'll tell you why. Home Depot just banned sales of rope. Yep, they say due to nooses. USA Today, too many people are making nooses out of rope there, doctor. On one hand, it sounds funny. On the other hand, what happens when you get a rope shortage?
Well, there's going to be a lot more shortages than that. Honestly, there's been a lot of us that have been doing home improvement, if you will, during this time where it seems like nobody's even wants to talk to you. I've discovered a lot of shortages in the construction materials. It's interesting to me. I don't think that those shortages are going to be isolated to construction materials. I think that as different police departments are banned and defunded and everything across the nation, I think that there's going to be food and shortages of all sort, because truck drivers are going to say, I can't go into that city without, being pulled from my truck, beaten to within an inch of my life and having my truck stripped of everything I've got. I'm not going in there. And I've seen some surveys by some independent truckers. One I saw said 77% of them would not deliver into areas that
had, other than that's not so bad.
No, really, I'm telling you, these
I know.
People are going to get hungry. So it's going to be really ugly. And when people get hungry, the stupidity level really, really, really accelerates. And I just say, wow. I watch people burn down businesses that are in their community, that are bringing prosperity to their community.
It is insanity on steroids. We'll get to that in just a second. Before we do, though, 20 states now require masks in public. Dr. Bradley.
It's interesting. There isn't a shred of evidence that they do any good, I don't believe. I think they're just a mask of social shaming. I've seen so many studies that, exposure of the fact that they reduce the oxygen availability to below safe levels. They decrease the blood oxygen content in your body. I have someone I know very well that's a little bit older than me, so you might say he's an old guy, but he's not. I'm still pretty, got a lot of tread left. But at any rate, he passed out at a store one day because he was wearing it. He fell over and he's still recovering from the repercussions of that, because he conked his head, split his head open, had to have staples put in his head. The whole bit, he's got vertigo now and everything. But the problem is that, you get sometimes a little less oxygen means a lot to people. And, some years ago I had an outing that I had planned, and it ended up not coming together, but I was supposed to be up on Mount Everest. And so I did a lot of research about that and that killing zone, that dead zone that you get into where the oxygen content level gets so low that you're losing brain cells all the time you're in there if you're not on oxygen. And honestly, I suspect that a lot of these people that are living in these masks are killing their brain cells. I don't know, but the if your blood oxygen content goes as low as it does, if you're in the hospital laying there with one of those little finger monitors on, and they sense that your oxygen level's low, they put you on oxygen because there's safe levels you got to be at. And some of these studies that have been done indicate that the masks do that. And not on top of that, tell me where in the Constitution anybody in the nation, anybody, can mandate that you wear a hijab or a burqa. I mean, these are basically the new Taliban today that are saying you're going to wear this accoutrement to your body, and it's a mandate, and literally it's just utterly, you draw those parallels and people think you're being disrespectful to religion, but I'm not. I'm telling you, people that want to wear those religious symbols, more power to them. People that want to wear their masks, more power to them. If they protect you, if they're good, great. If that's your choice and you want to do it, I say great. This is America. But to mandate it, and by the way, some of the places are really, really pretty voracious on this demand. And even Goldman Sachs, the CFR New World Order money mongers, at least one of them that Heidi Cruz worked for, is saying that we should mandate them nationally because it'll help the economy. I mean, that I don't know if you've seen some of the articles on that, but it's absolutely amazing to me how this is becoming a shaming thing in order to get Americans to conform to something that has no scientific basis. Putting a mask on is like putting a screen on a submarine or, you know, a chain link fence up to hold mosquitoes out. It just doesn't do it. So it's astounding to me what is passing for good policy, and it's not even based upon any science at all. So, and there's no constitutional authority, no process by which Americans could, under proper government, be compelled to do so. But they're going to use public shaming to get everybody to do it. I see more and more masks all the time.
All right, Larry Klayman goes off. Here's what he says. Time to declare these protesters enemy combatants. Arrest, charge, and send them to Guantanamo, Cuba prison to await trial. Now, I'm not really for the Guantanamo prison thing, but I do agree with the arrest and charge these criminals. Turns out the rioters turn Portland into a war zone. They attacked cops with, quote, commercial-grade fireworks and mortars. They rioted for hours and literally started a fire in the courthouse. The Portland Federal Courthouse had to be protected by U.S. Marshals. These particular events, folks, happened in Portland, but make no mistake, these lessons are of national importance. These are not protesters who are content with bringing down statues or whatever. Not that we ought to let that happen. These are groups that are bent on violence and destruction. They want to do nothing less than bring down our system and our way of life. Okay? This hooliganism needs to stop. And what you've got is government elected officials literally going along with these people. Do you think Larry's comments are too harsh, Doctor?
Well, I don't know as I can completely concur with everything saying, but I do agree that that these things are reminiscent of the beer hall pooches of the Nazi era, of the communist things, and we could talk when we get back from the break about how everything's planned and carried out, and why the habeas corpus suspension was included in the U.S. Constitution. It was just for these very kinds of events.
Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Several U.S. cities seeing some major violence over the holiday weekend. One of them, Chicago, where a family is now planning a funeral after their 7-year-old girl was fatally shot during a 4th of July get-together at her grandmother's house. Nathan Wallace is her dad.
It hurts that somebody can rob somebody of somebody's life like that.
In Atlanta, an 8-year-old girl was shot and killed while riding with her mom. And in Washington, D.C., an 11-year-old boy was shot and killed while running into a house to just grab his phone charger. Baseball is making a comeback. Most MLB teams will begin their first full week of summer training camp today. The teams are training in their home stadiums as they prepare to play a shortened 60-game season that will start on either July 23rd or 24th. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I like the product very much. I wake up in the morning, I'm wide awake, and I'm raring to go. I'm almost 76, and I'm working 2 different property management companies 6 days a week, and I was really, really dragging. I mean, I could barely get myself to work. And it all culminated when I started taking Balance of Nature. It didn't happen right away. I had to take it for a little while. And all of a sudden, I just made a mental note, hey, I'm feeling better. And I am, so I really like this product.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Phase 3 of New York City's coronavirus reopening process is getting started today. Part of the Phase 3 includes personal care services from tattoo parlors to nail and tanning salons being allowed to reopen with restrictions. A controversial pipeline has been nixed. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The energy company behind the Atlantic Coast Pipeline announced their intention to cancel the project, citing the cost of it and regulatory hurdles. Duke Energy and Dominion Energy said they abandoned the proposed $8 billion pipeline, which would have carried natural gas 600 miles through West Virginia, Virginia, and North Carolina, as well as underneath the Appalachian Trail. Last month, the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 to overturn a lower court ruling that found the U.S. Forest Service did not have the authority to grant a special use permit to allow construction of the pipeline below the Appalachian Natural Scenic Trail.
And this is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Rioters turned Portland into a war zone, folks. They attacked cops with commercial-grade fireworks and mortars. They were rioting for hours, and they started a fire inside the courthouse, so much so over the weekend that Larry Klayman says time to declare these protesters enemy combatants, arrest them, try them, and toss them in Guantanamo Bay. Now, I get Larry Klayman's point. I'm a little concerned we're going too far, but where is the line, Dr. Bradley?
Well, you know, if you look at Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, it says the privilege of writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless, when in cases of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it. Okay, this is a prime example as to why that was included in there. And, by the way, it is a legislative power. It's not what was usurped by Lincoln and his cronies in 1863, and then unconstitutionally delegated by the radical Republican Congress to the executive. It is a legislative authority, and there's good reason for that. But at any rate, these things, we do have valid approaches to them, and they can be done. And now, I don't know if you're going to be able to make the enemy combatant stick. That's kind of a broad bucket putting people in, and it's something that we've found in military. Some of the military bills that have been passed by the Congress lately, and I think it's something that could be used against you, Sam, or Kirk.
Well, and that's exactly why I say I wouldn't go near as far, because once that power is invoked, it's very, very, very hard to put a check and a balance on it. I would arrest these people for sure, but I would give them complete due process. I would not use the enemy combatant term. I would give them a speedy trial based on the rule of law and transparency. I would give them a jury of their peers, and I would literally have accountability by transparency on this thing.
Here's the deal. The Military Commissions Acts that have been passed have used that enemy combat thing. And what's a military commission? It's martial law. There is no longer civilian rule. There's government rule. It's like in the deconstruction of the South after Civil War, wherein the military ran the courts by tribunals of military officers. This idea of a jury of your peers and all that kind of stuff, it went out the window. See, you'd start down a slippery slope, and I'm really worried about the way this stuff is being played by some that claim to be on our side. And what you say is, let's connect the dots to where this is going. And so you start doing this enemy combatant thing, and anybody that speaks against the newest, latest, greatest kind of socially acceptable approach to things could be caught in that net.
And that's why I don't agree with Larry Klayman. I think his point's right, but he's going way too far, and he's forgetting about the appropriate checks and balances in America.
Well, then the civil unrest kind of thing, they suspend habeas corpus for a brief period of time. It's done by the legislature. They sweep up the streets. They gather everybody that's out there. And if you're maybe out buying groceries and you got caught in the net, in the calm after that, you get let go. But if you've been out there throwing bricks and Molotov cocktails and so on, then you have a trial, and you do that full due process thing. But what we're seeing right now is just a reflection of like the spring and summer of 1848, when the Communist Manifesto was brought out, that all of these pre-planned civil disturbances, riots, these revolutions that were all pre-planned to coincide with the release of the Communist Manifesto, and they were just looking for the thing that lit the fuse. Back in 1848, you know, you had revolutions in France, Vienna, Berlin, Venice, London, Spain, Naples, lots of other places. 64 revolutionary outbreaks in Russia alone. All of them failed, but the fact of the matter is that they were pre-planned and carried out by those that were attempting to overthrow the established order. And it goes back to the French Revolution and the, you know, Paris Commune and the Bolshevik Revolution. They're all related. And this is a similar kind of thing that's happening. But the United States has a plan in place if we'll follow it. And we can put this in order again. But this idea, it just blows my mind that we have sanctioned events by large mayors. Maybe they're not all large, but their cities are large. Mayors in large cities that sanction these mobs that go in and burn things. And then they say, there was 315 revolutionary acts of riots across the United States, but only 4 cases of COVID came out of it. But by golly, you can't get together and protest the shutdown or go to church or get together with family members. Oh, my goodness, it's too scary to do that kind of thing. But you can get together and burn cities down. The mayors are spineless wimps in this whole thing. And it's largely in the cities where socialism has been the name of the game for decades.
No doubt about it. They say BLM mob burns U.S. flag to celebrate the 4th. Now, I wouldn't burn the flag. I don't want to burn the flag. But you know what? I think people have the freedom to burn the flag if they choose. They also say thousands of, quote, black Americans take up arms at Stone Mountain, Georgia, July the 4th, 2020. They're being called Antifa Nazi brown shirts.
Do you guys remember back in, I think it was March of 2001, when the Taliban blew up those Buddha statues in Afghanistan?
Yes,
This is where we're going with this. We are going to see, and by the way, the United States used that as an example of all these horrid monsters called Taliban have got to be put in their place. And that's one of the reasons we've got to invade Afghanistan. Of course, it was to protect the poppy fields and make sure that our economic, you know, things for our drug. Anyway, let's not get off on that right now. But we've been there almost 20 years now, and the idea, one of the ideas that launched our military invasion was the fact that these monsters called Taliban had blown up these iconic statues that had been there 1,700 years, and now we're going to do the same thing to Stone Mountain. I have seen proposals that would be absolutely shocking to you, what the intent is of some of these people. This is not just a happenstantial passing whim. We are experiencing what I said earlier, pre-planned, well-organized, highly carried out efforts to disrupt society to the point that they can say, oh, we've got a better idea. We can replace that. And that's what happened in the French Revolution, when the people got so sick and tired of being sick and tired and the debauchery of it. And they said, save us from ourselves. And Napoleon stepped in and says, I can if you'll give me ultimate unlimited
dictatorial authority. It's got to stop. Now, here's the deal. Government officials are going along with all this, though, Dr.
They
Bradley.
Are?
So Baltimore mayor, guy's name is Bernard C. Young, or he goes by Jack. So Jack Young defended vandals who tore down the statue of Christopher Columbus and they tossed it into the city's inner harbor. He literally is defending these people for committing a criminal act, a destruction of public property. I mean, this is insanity. And the mayor of Portland, Oregon, when this first started and they took over this 7-block area called Jazz, the mayor's like, oh, it's just like a block party down here. We're all having a good time. No problem. Until they started threatening her, then she changed her mind. Okay, this is just out of control, and I'm telling you, it's going to be mayhem in the Republic, and there's only one answer. It isn't the military either, folks. It isn't hardcore, in-your-face government. They always want you to believe in the Hegelian dialectic and believe government's the solution. It's not. The only solution is for a moral people to return to their God. That's the only solution, Dr. Bradley.
Well, indeed, it is. But here's the deal. Now, I've had a lot of really good Italian friends, and they're very, very, I mean, I guess you can't paint everybody the same brush, but as a general rule, they're proud of their heritage. They're passionate people that is you know, got opinions about things. And, you know, I have great discussions with my Italian friends. But the point of the matter is, you start throwing Christopher Columbus in the bay, And you're going to have pushback from some Italian groups. And what they're doing is they're encouraging that kind of disruption that will say, oh, yeah, we've got to have that hard pushback that you just spoke against. We've got to have blue helmets in our streets. And by the way, I've heard people suggest that we need to have the United Nations come in and sort this thing out.
And I'm saying every one of these proposals are flat out crazy off the rails and not even the solution. It'll only exacerbate the problem.
It will indeed, and that's why, as you suggest, our return to the foundation. Now, of course, the whole foundation of this nation was godly. We have and we can prove that every way to Sunday. Everything that started this whole nation, overarching and undergirding it, was this godly heritage, this godly focus. And sure, there were lots of reasons people were here, and there were people that didn't follow the plan and all that kind of stuff. But a nation, and I say this all the time, a nation on its knees petitioning God is a far more powerful nation than one marching to war.
Preaching the word of God is more powerful than the sword, I also highlight, ladies and gentlemen. I know you think we're soft, but I submit to you, do you want real solutions or do you just want to show a force? I'm not really a force guy. Thank you very much. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get Kosher-tified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Anyway, I do agree we need to arrest these people that commit criminal acts, and I do agree we need to prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law, and I do agree that we need a jury of peers and a speedy trial and a fully informed jury, and I agree we need complete due process, and I agree with all those things, and anybody committing criminal acts, I think they need to be subject to that reality, but I also believe if we're not careful, we go way too far, calling in the military, declaring people enemy combatants, in other words, just a term to violate people's rights. If you're not very careful, that double-edged sword will come to get you. Be very, very careful. Expediency is not always the best policy. I recommend that the word of God is more mighty than the sword. And as Dr. Scott Bradley points out, on our knees before our maker, the author of our very liberty, we can do more to enact change than any other way, I believe. Praying hard, getting up, following the Prince of Peace, ministering to one another. Those are the answers. Justice needs to have a healthy dose of mercy. At the same time, we ought not be soft. We ought to create accountability. There's no doubt. But there's a balance here that I'm trying to kind of highlight. We're trying to walk this tightrope of real solutions, being tough enough to, get the job done and stop this criminal activity. But at the same time, do it in a way that'll be lasting, Doctor.
It seems to me that there ought to be an accountability with all of those people that are destroying our liberty. I feel sad that not enough of the incumbents were voted out of office in the recent primaries, but I hope that it will happen in the upcoming November elections. But, you know, it's interesting, the compulsion and force and everything. You say you're not a force guy, and I concur with that. But you know what? Who's doing all the force? They say that we're selfish for not wearing masks. Are you kidding me? They're forcing us to cover our source of oxygen. The other day, somebody that was, you'd probably like their opinion on a lot of things. They sent me an email that says, I'm selfish. You force others to inject yourself with dangerous substances so you can feel safe. You force others to cover their source of oxygen and for months on end so you can feel safe. You force others to lose their jobs and retirement so you can feel safe. You force others to stay home so you can feel safe. I mean, who's the selfish one here? And where does the authority to do any of this originate? There is none. None. Zero.
Yes, and by the way, where Kurt grew up in a place called Eager, Arizona, the mayor there spoke out boldly on that very, very point you make, Dr. Bradley. He had a press release where he is not going to lock down the little town in Arizona, called Eager, Arizona, really to make this very point that you're highlighting now is there is no authority, folks, and he's going to err on the side of freedom. And I commend him for his stance. All right, we got to end on some good news. Kurt's got good news coming out of Florida, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. The headline out of Florida says Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signs bill requiring parental consent for abortion. I mean, imagine having parental consent for an abortion. I mean, of course, you could, we got to err on the side of freedom, I guess, huh, Sam? But the Folks there at the ChristianPost.com tell you a little more details. You know, they say, while the governor did not make a public statement about the new law, its proponents, you know, and they go on and list those different things. They lauded the measure, stressing that parents have the right to know that their child is pregnant and considering an abortion. The serious,
you would say that's forced. See, I don't think so. It's just letting parents know what's happening with the children that God's put them as guardians over. And so, you know, there you go. I think that's an appropriate move. I say good for the governor there. And we got a real battle when it comes to pro-death versus pro-life. You got about 130,000 dead Americans due to the COVID, they claim. I believe the numbers are manipulated through the roof. Nevertheless, compare that against the 480,000 literal abortion murders that have taken place since the beginning of the year. And wow, they've got to get their discussions on track with reality. But again, until we turn to God and look at God's laws as guidance instead of the edicts of man, we're in trouble. And there is a clear, simple solution. That is, turn to God. People who are keeping his commandments are by nature self-governed. All right, Kurt, you have another story, too, about the what? Fourth, what's this thing?
Well, we're talking about, you know, the coronavirus, basically.
Not the fourth
again,
Reich,
and,
is it?
No, and the fourth Reich. Estate. Okay. Yeah, it says the fourth estate, and it says the pandemic of 2020 is over, but don't expect media to cover it. Nicholas El Wadi shares this underreported but significant metric on COVID's impact, you know, and this is out of the UK, but it's just interesting information. They say the CDC's most recent estimate of fatality rate of about 0.25% is a real downer. They say from the perspective of news editors, you know, remember they're the guys that if it bleeds, it leads. And so they conclude, well, yeah, for people like us who celebrate life. But they say, and so they conclude the metrics be darned, you know, anecdotal stories of suffering and loss are far more captivating. So they try to find somebody who had to deal with it, and then they highlight that. He goes on, he says, not to mention politically expedient. Let's lead with those then. Perhaps most importantly, we need to know how many people have died of COVID-19, and more specifically, how many more people have died because of COVID-19 than would have done so in a typical week, month, or year. Here is where the rubber meets the road. If the virus is death, then one would assume that it would produce a harrowing tidal wave of excess mortality. He says, for a while it did. There's plenty of evidence that both in the U.S. and Europe, many more people died in April and May than would have normally died. And back when the death toll was large, and particularly when the death toll was still climbing, the media were riveted. One couldn't turn on the news without being treated.
I don't even know that I agree with back then that's true, because when you look at the flu cases that went down, when you look at all the other people that didn't go to the hospital for routine abuse and everything else, I'm not so sure the real overall numbers did increase. I'm not so sure of that.
Yeah, and this guy says, at least we have long since passed the peak of daily deaths. And here in the U.S., they've declined. But he says, you know, he's just pointing out that the great pandemic of 2020 is over. Thanks to the mainstream media, you simply were never informed.
You want to respond to that, Dr. Bradley?
Well, you know, it's absolutely true. We have a virus that has a really low fatality rate. We have declining daily deaths. So they've swapped from this number of deaths to number of cases. Well, obviously, if you're doing more training, you'll find more training testing. You'll find more cases. And the fact of the matter is, I am not absolutely convinced that the test itself is not polluted for a lot of reasons. False positives, it may even be putting the, I mean, you say, wow, you're sure a conspiracy guy. Most of those, at least initially, most of the test sets came out of China. They could have actually put the virus on the end of the swab. Who knows? But what I'm saying is what they're highlighting now is cases instead of deaths. And the fact of the matter is somewhere in the range of 80% of those that are test positive, well, then they have inordinately high false positive rate, but at least 80% of those that test positive are asymptomatic. They never get it. And they don't contaminate anybody, apparently. And of those that get it, most of them, like I say, 80%, don't have any symptoms. A very high percentage of them have mild symptoms. Some have a little more severe. The cases are very rare, and you have a very high survival rate if, in fact, you get it. And they're still trying to terrify us, and that's what they're using as the basis to say, oh, we got to go to masks, everybody. We got to go to partial shutdowns or whatever, and it's all a facade. I call it the Farsi facade.
It is a facade, but you know what? They're taking this one to the bank, though. You ain't seen nothing yet. They're going to continue to control your life. They're going to not only push for you to wear masks, they're going to eventually be pushing hard for you to have the vaccine. They won't literally hold you down and force the jab. They'll just make it hard to buy and sell or go into stores. It wouldn't take but a couple of big store chains to say, hey, we're not letting you come in unless you can prove your vaccination papers and that you've got a mask on. We won't let you come into our stores at all, and they're private sector stores, so you can't really say they have to let you in. And they're literally going to take this to the bank, folks, in terms of the contact tracing they're going to do on us. They're going to basically quarantine people. They're literally going to take this all the way to the mat. I fear that's what they're going to do. Dr. Bradley.
You know, by the way, I don't know if you gentlemen have read, Utah has put out a new education plan for the COVID world that we're in. I have read every word of that plan. I wish there were time to talk about it. It is absolutely a farce. There will be no education, no learning going on.
You gear up for this, doctor. Kurt's going to be out several days this week. I'll find a time. We'll have you on, and we'll just drill into that for 2 hours, shall we?
Well, maybe so, but I'll tell you, you can say it in one word, facade.
Tyrannical facade.
Anyway, but there will be no education. But as I'll probably say again, we've been such a long time when education has occurred in our public school system that isn't what they're doing anymore. They're checking the box. Oh, we're back in school. Glory be. The kids can come to school and the parents can go back to work. And there's none of this parent educational thing going on. It's just the people are going to breathe a deep sigh of relief. But the contact tracing thing that you brought up, that's what it brought to my mind. There will be children that probably don't see their parents for great extended periods of time as contact tracing gets carried out through the school system. And that is a central point of Utah's new education system under the COVID virus. It is absolutely amazing.
It's draconian, to say the least, and I warned everybody about this, and at first people just thought I was off my rocker. Now they're starting to see the pay dirt or the payload of what I'm talking about. Literally Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, which is a gazillion other companies mixed together now as well. You know, they're all going to literally partner with and build this straight into the Apple operating system and the Android operating systems to where you will not have a modern communication device and avoid it. Write it down. You will not have a modern communication device and avoid this contact tracing. They're literally doubling down on. They're peddling it soft now so you don't freak. But trust you me, they will spring it on you, and it will be incredibly
separate and isolate people, whether by masks or
yes.
6-foot rule or actually by quarantines. You will dehumanize humanity to the point that they're more easily controlled, and you can't get a group together ultimately to overthrow the tyranny that's been put on you if you can't gather closer than 6 feet with a couple of people. It is absolutely diabolical where they're going with this.
You can if you want to destroy everything. You can't if you want to go to church.
Correct.
It is that highlights the dichotomy or the problem here. Dr. Bradley, thank you for your time. I'll call you and we'll try to schedule this. Kurt Crosby's taking off for some family reunions for a couple of days. We'll have him on throughout during his travels as well. But man, we got an incredible week coming up of hard-hitting talk radio. Always at your fingertips, lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com. Spread the word. Donate today. And for the doctor, Scott Bradley, his website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check out his incredible weekly webinars on the Constitution, on the sacred cause of liberty, and more. All right, freedomsrisingsun.com. For Sam and Kurt and the good doctor, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.